ain't the kind to wear a tie. Working up from 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. I'm not always polite, but I get the job done. Who says that work can never be fun? I'm simply unprofessional. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby. Joining me tonight, we got Rob.
Hey, everybody. It's Rob.
And we got special guest, Lex.
Hi. So, I've been around here a lot lately.
Yes, you have. It doesn't make you any less special, though.
Thank you.
So this week, we're going to do another movie off of the list that I did several weeks ago at this point of recommendations. We're doing Five Nights at Freddy's. Now, Lex, you've already seen this movie.
Several times.
As the kids say, FNAF.
FNAF. And me and Rob, we just sat down and watched it a little while ago, earlier today. So I am coming into this as a heads up. First off, spoilers. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch the movie if you like FNAF. Go watch the movie even if you don't know anything about FNAF. It's worth a watch. And then I got a challenge for you. Watch this movie and then watch Willy's Wonderland back to back and tell me which one you liked better. I'm coming into this knowing almost nothing about the game. I've watched some people play it. Like, I've watched Kat play it a few times. I used to put her stream, when she was streaming it, I used to put her stream up on it in, like, my second monitor while I was doing stuff. And then, like, the jump scare sounds would scare the crap out of me. Just the sounds. So I know it's not really my type of game, because I am a scaredy cat. But more to the point, jump scares are what get me the worst. And I do not like them. So I feel like FNAF is probably just not my game.
I think that's fair to say. So I am also the type of person who cannot play the game myself, but I love watching other people play it.
Yeah, I don't mind watching other people play it, if I have the sound turned, like, way down. Like, it's like, I don't know, I think it's audio jump scare things that really kind of get to me, I guess, but...
Mm-hmm.
So do either of you know the premise of the game?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. As much as anybody knows the premise of the game, because honestly, it's up for debate. Through all the games, there's, like, overarching storyline, plotline that's all in context and subcontext. For the little mini games that you get after each night.
Yeah, I'm telling a story. You gotta shush.
So the general agreement, am I spilling it out?
Yeah.
Okay. The general agreement of what people think has happened is that there's this guy named William Afton. He had a partner, and they went and created this whole business together. Well, they're a bunch of kids wind up going missing, and you find out later that they were killed and shoved in the animatronic suits. And now they're...
In the game?
Yes, sort of. It's all through, like, context and you trying to piece things together yourself. Obviously, everybody knows that MatPat has this covered, but it's... It's wild. There are a lot of other theorists who have, like, different spins, especially when it comes to little details. But the general story is purple guy William Afton kills a bunch of kids, stuff their bodies in animatronic suits, and then the spirits become vengeful spirits, and they scare him into the yellow Springlock Bonnie suit, which is the golden rabbit. And there's a malfunction, and the Springlocks actually kill him. So then he's kind of pretty much kept alive just through, well, he's, like, kind of undead almost, just kind of kept alive through, like, sheer will of anguish.
Okay.
And, basically, there's just, like, a bunch of other things that happen where, like, now there might be a whole thing where he's, like, an AI and also causing havoc and kidnapping kids still, maybe. There might be kids who are robots. We're not actually sure anymore.
There was... I saw one of the games was that B was playing. It was you are, like, a kid in your bedroom and you have to keep closing your bedroom doors. Like, what that... Like, how does that fit in?
So, that one is... I want to say that that's one that we're not 100% sure on. Okay. I think from what I understand is in one of the mini games at the end, or, like, one of, like, the little pixelated things at the end of the nights.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I have only seen people play these games. You see two older kids with masks. One's the a foxy guy with the mask, and the other one's a Bonnie guy with the mask. And they pick up this crying child, and they put him in Freddy Fazbear's mouth. And then because he's crying, the spring locks activate and crush his head.
Oh.
So nope. He is kind of like in this state between being dead and hanging on and in a coma. So some people theorize that that game in particular, the nightmare one, is what he's experiencing in his coma. Other people say that in order to keep the kid away from the pizzeria so he didn't get hurt, his dad, which we're assuming is William Afton, kind of created like these nightmare scenarios using illusion discs, maybe, to kind of input these pictures of horrifying animatronics so he doesn't run off and go to the pizzeria.
Gotcha.
All right. So, in the game, you are playing the role of security guard?
In some of the games, you are. And I don't know if it's clear if you're always the same security guard or if you're different security guards. But I think you're, at least I think for the first two where you get a paycheck, I think it says Mike Schmidt on both of them. Or maybe it says Fritz on one of them. I don't actually remember. But you are a security guard in the first three?
Okay. Now, how do you win at the game? Like, how do you
survive? Like,
so all you gotta do is survive until a set time, like the end of your shift?
I think it's 6 a.m.
That's why when in the beginning of the movie when he woke up, it was like it turned over to 6 a.m. because yeah. That's like supposed to be you survived.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, 5 nights at Freddy's, you have to survive until 6 a.m.
And you win the whole game if you can survive all 5 nights.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if all games or most games, not the newest ones, have a 6th night that's like a nightmare mode that you could also beat, but effectively beating 5 nights, you win.
Okay. Now, what exactly do you have to do for the people, you know, the listeners out there who don't know how to play the game, because you know, obviously I do. But treat me like one of them. What do you have to do?
Treat me like one of your French girls.
Yeah.
So, the first 2 nights, your goal is to maintain your power because the power is pretty faulty. So you have to keep an eye on the power levels and close doors once animatronics kind of get close by. If you close the door, they can't get to you. You have to wait them out, and then you can open the door again. And to figure out if they're coming closer to you, you have cameras to monitor if they're moving or what they're doing. I think by the third game, it's slightly different because there's only one guy pretty much after you. And that one, you can't close the doors, but you have to do other things to deter him, like play sounds instead. And then that one, you have to fix vents and the audio system. So by fixing those things, you can scare him away.
And that's in the third game or on the third night?
I think that's the third game.
Okay.
After that, I'm a little bit fuzzy. I don't remember which one's after that, if it's the nightmare one or if it's sister location. I think it's the nightmare one.
So is the whole first game just maintaining your power?
Yes. I think that's the main mechanic, is maintaining the power and closing the doors. The second one, you have to put on a mask for some of them, but it doesn't work on all of them because they are subconsciously think, oh, human person bad. So if you put on the mask, they're like, oh, animatronic good. Gotcha. But it doesn't always work.
So I will say this. If I worked as the security guard and I survived that first night,
mm-hmm.
and I was willing to go back in for the remainder of my shifts, I'd be bringing a generator with me. You know, you can go down to Walmart and buy a gas generator for $150. You know?
That is fair. I don't know, actually.
Power problem solved. I mean, good
point.
You know? Plus, as a security officer, he was hired, at least in the movie, he was hired just to keep people out of Freddy's.
Mm-hmm.
I'd keep my ass outside then.
That is fair. You can't, I mean, yeah, being outside at nighttime would kind of suck, though, especially when you're falling asleep all the time, but...
I guess. Now, does that happen in the games? Like, is there a mechanic that you have to, like...
Stay awake.
Stay awake?
I don't think so. I know that in one of them, I think it's FNAF 3, if you don't maintain the ventilation system, you can kind of, like... almost pass out. Yeah, and like you start seeing things, and then they get like kind of like even creepier animatronics that can't kill you, but they can scare you.
Yeah. All right. So jumping into the movie, we have the main character, Mike. Well, first there's a scene with the security guard essentially being trapped in the security office and then banging on a vent and then crawling through some vents, and then he gets caught, and then this animatronic mask is getting closer to his face that have all like these whirling blades in them. So that's something.
That was not in the games.
And then it hits 6 o'clock, and our main character, Mike, wakes up underneath his badass Pine for the Forest Nebraska poster that me and Rob, we both, like, we saw it, we didn't say anything, it switched to another scene, and then I was just like, wait, and Rob's like, yeah, that poster said Nebraska.
I was like, dream big, Nebraska.
Yeah. It's like, wow, this guy's got a lot of hopes and dreams wanting to go to Nebraska. So Mike is played by Josh Hutcherson, who is
yep.
Obviously his most iconic role and who he'd be most known for would be playing Walter in Zathura, a space adventure.
I mean, he was also Peter Mullark in Hunger Games.
Yeah.
And the kid from Bridge to Terabithia.
He was being, like, was, facetious.
Yeah. Yeah, I was being an ass. I have seen Zathura, but that's literally, other than the Hunger Games, that's the only thing I knew this guy from.
You haven't seen Bridge to Terabithia?
I don't know. It sounds familiar.
You might have blocked it out of your memory because it was sad.
Oh, maybe then.
Oh, but so good.
And he's also in a movie that I actually have been wanting to see, apparently. He's in The Beekeeper.
I don't even know what movie that is.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, Josh Hutcherson, he plays Pete, or PETA, in the Hunger Games movies. And he has a younger sister, Abby, played by, oh, no idea, Piper Rubio.
Mm-hmm.
I can't guess that she would have been in many things. She's very young. Nothing that I'm familiar with. And so he's begging her to get up. He's got to go somewhere. And then it does like a weird flashback thing. Because I thought this was what he did, but then I realized that when he woke up his sister, he was already wearing the tie and the shirt that he went to the interview thing with.
Mm-hmm.
So they flashbacked to the incident where he's in the mall. He's a security guard in the mall. And he sees this kid just standing alone. And that kind of catches his attention. And then he sees a guy come up and grab the kid by the arm. And the kid start crying and like reluctantly being dragged almost by this guy. So his brain instantly goes to child abduction, which he has reason for his brain to go there. We find out. But he races through this mall, tackles this guy into a fountain, and beats the crap out of this guy, who is this child's father. Obviously getting fired from that job, and then having to go into Steve Raglan's office, who I'm guessing is a like a management at a like one
like
of those
headhunter.
A headhunter?
Yeah, like a job recruitment agency.
Yeah. And so Steve Raglan's played by Matthew Lillard. I love Matthew Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in he was in the Scream movie. He was technically uncredited, but he was in Scream 2 also as just a guy at party. I loved him in Hackers. He was in a lot of like late 90s movies too. And then he is most notably famous for pretty much anything involving Scooby-Doo. He is the voice of Shaggy Rogers. Pretty sure that's his last. That's Shaggy's last name, right, Rogers?
I think so.
Yeah. So yeah, anytime you hear anything, he's even got a credit in Supernatural for when they did their half, you know, their animated Scooby-Doo crossover episode.
Nice.
So yeah, anything Scooby-Doo related, Matthew Lillard is Shaggy. He takes a look at this guy's file, and then he gets weirded out when he starts. He reads his name, doesn't say his last name. Then he starts acting funny, and from that moment, I was like, Rob, this guy knows something. He's doing something. I don't. There's something about this guy, and he offers him this job at. As a security guard, which Mike says, you know, he can't work nights because he has his sister. But he gives him his card in case he changes his mind. Now, behind the scenes, well, not behind the scenes, but like elsewise in the movie, Mike's aunt is always constantly walking around with this very morose looking lawyer. Who looks like he just is the most awkward person in the world and doesn't ever want to be anywhere. And she's trying to gain custody of Abby because she doesn't think Mike is suitable to raise Abby. So there's that he's battling, and then that really kind of pushes him when she serves him paperwork for custody stuff. He pushes to get a babysitter overnights, and he's going to go work this night gig at Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria. I instantly told, once I saw what the whole name was, I was like, Rob, they got games and pizza. I would work there. As long as I had access to the kitchen and I could make pizzas. So then, did he have a dream prior to his first night working that shift about his brother? Because he always has the same reoccurring dream. I just don't remember if it happened earlier in the movie or if the first time it happened.
Well, he did have one dream without the other children. I don't remember when that was, though.
It was probably at the beginning, because I remember he was talking to one of his friends about this book, Dream Theory.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, that was the one where he dreamt when he was a kid and they were playing and he was told to go look after his brother. He picked up the frisbee and then he realized his brother was missing. Then he saw him in the back of the car, and he started racing and chasing the car down. And then he woke up. And that's essentially the same reoccurring dream that he keeps having, but they get more and more intense and vivid. And he's doing this on purpose. He's taking sleeping medications. That's what we find out the Nebraska poster's for and why that's important. Because familiar sights and memories and sounds and smells, he plays a nature tape to help put his mind back there to that specific moment, because he's reading that people, everything that you see, whether you consciously realize it or not, is stored in your brain. And that if you know how to look, you can find it and access it. You know, it's that whole theory of like having the mind mansion thing, you know, your mind vault, where you store things away and you can access it quickly. But then these kids just kind of start showing up in his dreams, and he asks questions, and then they start running away. He chases them and always, you know, ends up getting messed up. And then that kind of continues. Like, I think the first time that happens on the first night, the kid with the hook hooked him in the arm or something, right? And that's where he got the wound on his arm.
Mm-hmm. Like, he picked up a rock, I think, and hit him in the dream.
Oh. I thought it was a hook. I thought, because one of the kids has a hook.
Oh, then it must have been, because it was the redheaded kid, who I think is the one that has the hook. But I thought he picked up a rock from the ground and, like, stabbed him with it in the dream.
So I'm assuming that those kids at this point have something to do with the animatronics at that point, because you had the one kid who wore bunny ears, and then there's a bunny animatronic, which that brings me to another point, which I'll make right after, or I'll have one of you guys make right after this. There was the kid with the hook, and then there's the animatronic with the hook hand. And then one of them had a hat, which I didn't catch at first. I didn't understand why that was relevant in the slightest. Then I don't remember which one was the one for Chica.
Which I think she was just wearing yellow.
Oh. So
it was the only girl, I think.
Oh. Bonnie's not a girl?
No.
Oh. Yeah. So at this point, I just thought, okay, these kids are connected to these animatronics somehow. No. Rob, why don't you go through? Because I kind of described some of the animatronics. Why don't you list off the animatronics that are found in Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria?
Okay. Well, there's Freddy, who is a bear. Because like they have a show, like an animatronic show that's on the stage and dance and sing.
Like old kids. School Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. And Freddy's the singer, so he has the microphone and stuff. So he's a bear and he has a microphone. Then there's Chica, who is a duck.
Chicken.
Chicken. Very strange beak for a chicken.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was a duck.
Yeah, it's or a
like
weird
a baby
one.
Duck, like a chick.
There's lore implications for her design, but go on.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, so she's a yellow chick. Chicken, baby chicken.
With a shirt that says time to eat.
Yeah, carries a cupcake that also has eyes and is itself a separate animatronic named Carl. Yeah. And then there's a blue rabbit that plays guitar named Bonnie. And then there is Foxy, who is very beat up and has a hook hand, but is orange and has some fox fur, but mostly you can see much more of the robot on Foxy.
An eye patch.
An eye patch, yep. And then there's Golden Freddy, who is also somewhat dilapidated in the face area.
Which and wears the top hat. Yeah, he wore the hat. The normal Freddy didn't wear a hat.
Normal Freddy should have a hat.
They both had hats.
Oh, did they? I don't know.
Normal Freddy has like a smaller, almost bowler type hat, but I think it's also like a smaller top hat. But
okay.
But Golden Freddy had a bigger, like obvious top hat.
Okay. Oh yeah, you're right. I see a picture of it right there. You're right.
But that's all the ones that are in the movies, but there are others. Well, you do see Balloon Boy slightly. He's in a locker. He's a little round dude with a propeller hat and carrying a balloon.
Scariest damn character of the show, the movie.
And then you see him at the very end, very beginning and very end. He's the bookend monster.
Now, you said he's one of the ones that, like, he's kind of an Easter egg, like, you such a minor part in the movie, but if you've played the games, you would recognize him instantly.
Yeah. He is in the games. He does pop up. I know that... I don't actually remember which game he pops up in. I guess the second one? And I know the third one is a nightmare. But yeah, he's in the office.
Okay.
I don't know if he actually... does anything
now?
Wouldn't be creepy.
There's like a next bot chase game, kind of. I don't know if you've ever played Evade, but there's one kind of like that with the Five Nights at Freddy called Cinco Noches con Alfredo. and that Balloon Boy goes around and he blocks off escape areas, like he blocks doors so you can't get through them. But that's all he does in that game. But I don't know if that's similar. And then there's also one called Puppet, who you don't see in the movie.
Yes, Puppet. Puppet, I think, will probably be in the second one. But we'll talk about that.
Now, they did show one other animatronic that wasn't like animated, I guess. That we find out was meant for someone specific. Was that animatronic in any of the games?
The one that looks like a doll?
Yeah.
Yes and no. So we're not 100% sure, or at least I'm not 100% sure who that's supposed to be, but there are also Five Nights at Freddy's books. And that character looks like one of the title characters from one of the books. I think her name is Emma. I don't remember, actually. Basically, the story behind that one is I think they find her at a garage sale, and she's like... semi-human, semi-robot. I don't even remember what she does, but she's creepy.
Okay.
She's basically the Annabelle of the...
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So, in design-wise, that's who it looks like, but actual, like, animatronic-wise, there's one called Baby that has, like, implications and connections to the Afton family, because it has the souls of one of his other children. Who accidentally just got too close and died. But I think that we're noticing that between the books, the games, and now the movies, they're all similar stories done in parallel, but not the exact same thing for all of them. So that could be the movie's version of Baby, but we're not sure yet.
Right. Okay. So moving on, he finishes his first night. He wakes up, I believe, the first night is when he meets the cop, right?
I think so.
It's the end of his first shift, because he's gotten the wound on his arm.
I don't think that was his first shift. I think that was the second shift.
Okay. Early on in his week, he meets the cop who Five Nights at or Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria. Is like on her patrol route. And you can tell right off the bat, this place is something special for her. She says that she used to come here a lot when she was a kid. And she patches up his arm. Then the aunt meets with, and if I'm missing stuff, please interject and yell at me.
Well, you didn't. Are you going to talk about the meeting with the psychiatrist or when she was meeting with the other guy? Because the psychiatrist part came first.
Oh, I don't remember that part, I guess. Oh, yeah, I do.
She and her lawyer were talking to the psychiatrist to try and get custody. Yeah.
That's when he was served the papers.
Yeah.
And the psychiatrist even said, like, because afterwards he was like, you know, maybe she's right. You know, maybe I'm not, you know, good at raising. I'm not meant to do this or, you know, fit to do this or whatever. And the psychiatrist was even like, listen, you know, from an early age, kids learn through their drawing. And that's how they express what a lot of their favorite things are. You know, kids will draw their family out on picnics or go-karts or, you know, whatever they love, they tend to draw and put on paper. And she asks, you know, and who's at the center of each and every one of her drawings? And it happened to be Mike. Though looking at their interactions together, you wouldn't be able to tell. Not until like way later in the movie. But I guess that's, you know, they're siblings. I guess that's how siblings act sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, they're also dealing, I'm assuming, I never saw, I don't know if they talked about it in the part where I had to go to give Matilda her insulin or whatever, but I don't know what happened to their parents. Like, why are their parents not around? So I'm assuming they're dealing with whatever trauma or whatever.
Okay, and Lex, you can correct me if you mm-hmm. remember or know this. From my understanding, from what I, when I watched that part, was her mom, his mom passed away a few years prior.
Mm-hmm.
And then his dad just couldn't take things anymore. And I don't know if that means he just up and left the kids and then left everything and just ran away, essentially, or if he killed himself.
So, there's a theory on that because I think they left it open-ended because it could be either. So, in the games, I had mentioned that William Afton had a partner. And that partner, I think, his name was Henry. The first, I don't know if it was like the first actual death that kickstarted everything, or just one of the deaths in general, was that William Afton targeted Henry's daughter and killed her. And so he killed his business partner's child. So we're kind of having a feeling that maybe, Mike's dad might have also been his business partner.
Oh, so
it could be open-ended that, like, he offed himself, or maybe he's off doing something else so he can come back into the story.
Okay. So, and that prior, the prior one where you said the William guy killed his partner's daughter,
mm-hmm.
was that you said that was from the books?
The games.
The games. Okay. So yeah, maybe the movies just took their creative liberties and just swapped it and said, okay, let's, you know, let's have the daughter be alive and let's say mm-hmm. the son was killed by the partner. Interesting. Okay. But yeah, does that answer your question, Rub?
Mm-hmm.
It's open-ended on the father, but it's, you know, the mother died a few years prior. Yeah, well,
that's what I'm saying, kind of like, you know, suddenly your sibling becomes your parent. It's not right. Like...
Yeah.
And then you could, depending on what happened to the dad, they could be dealing with trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I like how just before that scene happened, pretty much where we find out, Rob was like, "Wow, this is a pretty big house for somebody who can't hold a job." And I was like, "Yeah, his parents probably left it to him or something."
It was also 1992.
That's fair. That is fair. I look at some of the gas prices back in the day of like when I first got my license, sorry to go on a little tangent here. When I first got my license, okay. So over by where the CVS is, and both of you have been here before, so maybe you'll remember, Lex.
Mm-hmm.
Over by like where the McDonald's, the CVS is and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right across the street from the CVS, not where the McDonald's is, but the other one. That used to be a gas station. It had two pumps. It was called Pick and Save. It was a little side, like a, not a grocery store, but like a convenience store,
mm-hmm.
and a gas station. 98 cents is a gallon is what gas cost when I first got my license. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. It was already $3 by the time I got my license.
Rob, what's the lowest you remember seeing gas prices? You're just a couple years older than me.
$1.70
$1.70 is the lowest you remember it ever being?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Connecticut was charging you blind.
I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to remember when I was a kid. When I bought gas, it was never under, it wasn't really under a dollar, I don't think.
Yeah, mine was 98
I mean, under $2.
But... Yeah. There was a short time that we had under $2 modern day. But no, around now, it teeters between 3 and 4. Three typically.
So.
I probably didn't pay attention because I didn't care. Well, I mean, yeah. I was a kid. Yeah. Why would I care what gas costs?
Yeah. I don't know. I always noticed little tiny things like that that like really like at that point in my life made no impact on me. Like it mm-hmm. made no difference. But those are the things that I really kind of noticed. Yeah. Probably because I heard my parents like talk about it a lot. You know, like, oh, gas this, gas that. I got to go get gas then. My dad always got free gas from his work. I don't know.
Where was I'm always I in the giving movie? You what? I'm always giving you free gas. But you
complain yeah, about I it. Know. No. Seriously, you should see a medical professional. Okay. It's bad. Lex, it's bad.
Oh, I get it.
I'm gonna try to record it one morning when he forgets that I said this right now. And I'm just gonna like I'm gonna upload the sound file to the D&D Discord. Or say this is Rob's guts, literally four times a day, twice in the morning.
And sometimes it'd be like that.
It's not good. It does not sound healthy. Like, actually, it sounds probably too healthy, but it happens too often for it to be good.
It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Where were we at in the movie? I forget.
Oh yeah, the girl. About parents.
Yeah. So yeah, Mike gets served with the papers. Decides he's gonna take the job. Gets a babysitter, and then by like the third night or the third day, the aunt is then talking to the babysitter and some guy. Either her boyfriend or her brother or whatever. And I guess she was supposed to try to find evidence in Mike's house of him being, you know, having some sort of criminal activity, some sort of illegal activity, so that way she could try to just win the custody battle based off that. But then the guy was like, well, let's just get him, you know, canned at his new job. You know, he's having a hard time, you know, getting a job and, you know, that's going to show. So if he's a security guard, let's just trash the place. You know, mind you, that was after his original idea of, well, why don't we just kill him? And the second he said that, the lawyer's like, I really should not be here. And starts like getting up. I felt so bad for that lawyer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's essentially the plan. The guy, whatever the guy's name is, the babysitter, and two other individuals as part of their crew. I'm just going to call them the Nebraska gang. They bust into Freddy's during the day. Now, Rob brought up a good point. Rob, what was your point?
That he's supposed to be the night watchman. Like, so if they're breaking in during the day, how is that his responsibility?
Exactly. Yeah, it was silly to begin with.
Yeah. So they bust in. They start trashing the place, stealing the money out of the games, which you figured that would have been done a long time ago by somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, if there's ever an old abandoned arcade and it shuts down and they close their doors or whatever, you know, either A, the owner's already gone through in there and emptied out every single machine, or the next day they will be emptied out by the general populace who don't care about locked doors or boarded up windows.
To be fair, the owner was still at the place. That's, we didn't know at the time.
That's true.
And it's full of murderous robots. So that's anyone else trying to steal
people
the money.
People don't know about that, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Anyone else trying to steal the money was either A, murdered by the robots, or like you said, the owner would have taken it, but the owner didn't need to take it because he still lives there.
That is true.
And I guess now that I'm thinking about it, the reason why they attacked it during the day was, one, because he wasn't there, two, because there, well, people just assume, oh, you didn't lock up. But I mean, they wouldn't. Yeah.
Oh, that's true, said, because well, the cop did yell at him. That's
true. But I mean, you would be able to see that they cut the bolts, so a lock was not going to keep them out.
Right.
It still wouldn't have been his fault.
Yeah. Because after, you know, let's just say the night didn't go their way. Because this is when you find out that the murder robots are murder robots. Who's the first? Oh, he met Carl first, or we met Carl first, right?
Yeah.
So in the kitchen.
Oh wait.
Yeah, he was in a closet, but in the kitchen, the guys were just trashing stuff, and then a pizza box fell off the thing, and then he heard rattling around in the cupboards. So when he walked over and he opened up the cupboard, there was Carl, this bright-eyed and bushy-tailed cupcake. And then it ate his face. And then the other guy...
Lex, one thing that maybe you could clear up for me is... Because they're like, oh, all of the animatronics have the child's bodies in them. Oh, yeah. Like, what child is folded into a tiny, itty-bitty square to fit inside that cupcake?
That's a really interesting question, because before he started killing kids and putting their souls in animatronics... He tested on a dog, and he tested on a dog that belonged to the person who wound up occupying Chica. So I think that the cupcake is that girl's dog.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, especially with how, like, kind of, like, ravenous and vicious it is.
Yeah, yeah. That does make a lot more sense. That's way better than my answer that I had thought about that the entire movie since you brought that up. Because it was bothering me, okay? And there's only one way I can possibly think about it, and that's if you removed all the organs and blood, you know, like liquid volume, and you ground the bones into dust, the skin would just fold like cloth and rubber, like rubber bands, and so the bones and the skin would fit in that. That's it. So you'd have to do some
work. This conversation reminds me of Family Guy when he's like, what makes the rattle in these maracas? Is it bones? No, you couldn't fit bones in here. Maybe baby bones. How would you get baby bones in there? Then he's talking about how you'd have to drown a bunch of babies.
Yeah.
And then one of his bandmates goes, Peter, are you thinking about drowning babies again? And he goes, no. And he goes, nah, you have to kill them too.
All I'm saying is, with enough time and preparation, anything is possible. That's all.
All right.
So Carl ate that guy's face. The other guy, part of the Nebraska crew, saw that on the, I believe on the camera, in the security room?
I think so.
And then started sprinting and screaming, running away throughout the pizzeria. Who then, the other guy, the last guy who was at the lunch, saw him sprinting through. No, he saw that guy sprinting through and running through all the cameras. Because it actually like flipped the entire screen flipped as if it were the camera. I forget who kills the bearded guy.
Bonnie.
In the closet. Yeah, that's right. So he hides in a closet. His friend goes looking for him. The closet ends up being locked and he can't open it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he turns around, he sees Bonnie, who's the blue rabbit. And then does the guy die next or does the girl die next? The girl dies last, right?
Yeah. She comes in looking for the rest of them.
Yeah. So the guy who, the last guy who's carrying around the bag full of coins, he gets chased by Bonnie. Like, he sees Bonnie, drops his stuff, and runs. And then I'm guessing Chica kills that one, or is it Foxy?
I actually don't remember. Was there humming? Or was it kind of like a whole, like, running animation, and then he died?
I don't remember. Rob, do you remember how the last guy died?
No.
Shit. If it was, like, running and, like, they zoomed in on his face as he was trying to leave the door, it probably would have been Foxy.
Okay. Maybe I'll just have to go back and maybe see it again. And then that left Max, who is the babysitter. That bitch. And she ends up finding the garage, I believe, or, like, the storage area.
Mm-hmm.
With a bunch of, like, Freddy parts and some other parts. And then
parts and services.
Yeah. And then she sees a giant Freddy animatronic just standing in the middle of the room. And then it shakes or something, or she hears something from it.
She Uh-oh. Hears a voice, I think.
Uh-oh. My what? Computer just made a noise. I don't know if it's still recording.
Hold, please.
Says we are.
All right, so we probably are.
Okay. So yeah, she heard. What was it? A noise that she heard? Is that what made her want to get closer to this Freddy?
Mm-hmm. I think it was a voice she heard saying something, but she couldn't make it out.
Right, and then so she gets on a stool right next to the thing, and gets right up in its face to look inside of its mouth. And the part that scared me out of this entire fucking movie, an arm reaches out, grabs her, pulls her like halfway into Freddy's mouth, and then the mouth closes and just cuts her in half. But you don't see any of that. You just see the shadow of it happening.
Yeah.
Not that B listens to this, but, you know, there's not a lot of gore in this movie. It's all just implied violence.
Yeah.
Then the next day, the cop shows up at Mike's house and is like, what are these? I found sleeping pills. And then he explains his whole dream thing to her and why he keeps dreaming that. And she tells him, that's when she tells him, you know, people broke in and smashed the place, and you were the last one there, so that holds you liable for whatever they do, essentially. Which that would suck, having a job like that, because then you're essentially liable for that place 24 hours a day anyway, unless they have multiple day shifts, you know. Because if he's responsible for the nighttime and things not being broken and stolen, and then he's the last one there, then he's responsible during the day because until somebody else shows up.
Which is just kind of a little fucky wucky if you ask me.
Yeah. He was set up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that night he can't find Max. I don't know if something happens in between of super importance, but he tries ringing Max, who's the babysitter, to come get her to babysit. Can't get her, so he has to bring Abby to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps her in says to stay in the security room with him. She builds a little tiny fort, whatever. And her dad, at like 5 o'clock in the morning, falls asleep and has his dream thing where he keeps coming. He keeps getting a little farther and farther in conversation with these kids in his dream. Like at first they all ran and he chased one. Then they didn't run, but then he scared them and they ran. He chased a different one. And then it was just the blonde kid that showed up in one dream, and he drew Bonnie in the dirt with a stick. Mm-hmm. And essentially, Mike just wants information on who took his brother. He says it's so he can change what happened, but then, I mean, it wouldn't change anything. He'd have closure. That's it. But he wants information on that person, and the blonde kid is like, "Well, what are you willing to give us?" And Mike says anything. And then that's the end of that dream, because Mike hears Abby screaming. And he runs out, and you see all of them surrounding the little girl. And then Freddy turns around, and his eyes go red, and he looks angry, and he starts approaching Mike. And then Abby comes running from all of them laughing, and introduces Mike to all of the animatronics, who are just playing with Abby. Like, they seem fine. And then the cop shows up, then there's some talking, then they build a giant fort out of furniture.
Which seems out of place.
Yeah. I don't remember if the conversation's super important, but I'm just getting to, like, I remember the fort being important. So, you know. That was a conversation where she essentially said, you know, he shouldn't be bringing Abby to work. And then I don't remember what happens next.
She explains that, I think, that kids went missing there at that point. Right?
Yeah. Because I remember when we were watching it, I thought she was just realizing and just finding all that out in that moment. Mm-hmm. And I turned to Rob and I was like, man, I don't know. She's handling this pretty well if she's just finding out. And Rob's like, no. I think she means she's already figured it out.
Yeah.
You know?
I think she meant she already knew from a while ago.
Yeah. And so now they're filled in, still remarkably okay and remarkably semi-unfazed by the fact that children's spirits are haunting these animatronics.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Cop is unfazed by it.
Well, yeah, but Mark, like, there's nothing, you know, I don't know why Mike is unfazed by it.
He's just like, yeah, this is totally normal and fine.
I mean, I guess theoretically, as much as it would scare the shit out of me if, you know, the day ever came and I, you know, had a face-to-face encounter with a ghost, you know, I'd probably shit myself, but I don't necessarily know that I would just, like, scream or run away in fear, only because, I mean, you don't know if the ghost is, I'm a big friend of Casper. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be a friendly ghost.
I guess at that point, like, they've already had this whole bonding session with them, so they're like, oh, you guys are ghosts? Yeah, that's cool. We built a fort together. This is great.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, they're treating Abby really nicely, you know. But, you know, I definitely think the reaction was numbed. I think he was numb to it. And hell, maybe that was just all the little, like, lack of sleep. Or no, not lack of sleep. Mike has the opposite problem. He sleeps too much. So I forget. Do they have another night at Freddy's before the final night at Freddy's? Oh, shit, was the movie 5 days long?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that just dawned on me now. that's why they call it Five Nights at Freddy's. Jesus.
The next night might have been the last one, though, because he basically decided not to bring her back.
Right. Yeah, that's right. But then
she runs off anyway.
Yeah, because she got mad at him. about her aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And then he left to go deal with something. And then...
No, he went to go talk to them again. He took that sleep aid or whatever, and the guy, remember, because the guy was use chamomile and blah, blah, and he just grabbed the bag and walked away, and he was like, jerk.
Yeah, 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 that's right. And so she's already, the little girl's at home. That's right. And then he goes there, and he gets back into his dream, and this time the dream is drastically different. It's his parents and his little brother sitting at a picnic table, and the little kids are behind him when he looks, and essentially the blonde kid, who's like, I'm guessing that's the one that inhabits Freddy, because he seems to be like the leader of the kids.
Yeah. Was there 6 kids or 5 kids?
1, 2, 3. 5?
5. Yeah, 5 kids.
Yeah.
And there's... I'm thinking of Chica... I think he's supposed to be Golden Freddy. It was unclear if he's Freddy or Golden Freddy.
Oh, no, well, no.
There was one that wears a top hat that I think was Golden Freddy.
He is there's Golden Freddy because he's the Golden Freddy's the one who shows up and gets the little girl. Gets Abby. Yeah. And he takes on that manifestation of the little blonde kid.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay. So then there should be one. Or does that mean he controls both Freddys?
No,
there's another little kid with a top hat. That one that wears the top hat, I think, is normal Freddy or whatever.
So, yeah, okay. So, while he's dreaming, that actually happens because the little kid's like, hey, you can have this every day. You know, we just want Abby. And Mike says that he will accept that. But then he almost instantly regrets it, like, and wants to change his mind. But then the kids just vanish, and everything's just gone. Meanwhile, the Golden Freddy, which is just bigger and missing an eye and an ear, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Which remind me at the end of this, I have a question about Golden Freddy, but he ends up convincing her, let's go play. You know, this and the other thing. They walk by. Abby sees her aunt's just legs on the floor. And the blonde-haired kid's like, Aunt so-and-so just falling asleep all the time. It's like it was no big deal. And then right before the scene switched over, Rob's like, how the hell are they going to get back to the pizzeria? And then it shows the taxi, and she gets in, and then the whole taxi shifts down, and the taxi driver looks behind him, and there's just this big, half-broken animatronic mess in the back seat. Oh, that poor taxi driver. They show back up at the pizzeria, and while that's happening, they travel to the pizzeria. Mike wakes up and all of the animatronics turn on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's actually having to, like, at one point he holds his back. I think he was the one who held his back up to the gate.
Well, he wakes up in the chair with the mask coming at him, like, at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then he gets out of that. This part's a little phasey for me then. Because I think parts of my brain are flashing back to the Nebraska gang leader's death. But, all right, can one of you talk about this situation? Because I know it gets to the point where the cop comes.
Oh, God, do I even remember what happened?
Well, he got out of the chair, and he was already injured because the kids had stabbed him a bunch in the dream, and they went and it carried over.
Yeah.
So he manages to get out of the chair, and he sees all the dead bodies. And then I think he just tries to run for it, and then you see Foxy coming at him, and he's banging on the emergency door, but then it just cuts off, and you think he might be dead.
Right.
And then he's in the cop station with her, and she's patching him up, and she says she found him in the parking lot.
Right. Okay. Um... Yeah, and then that's when you find out why, you know, because she's been pretty adamant about Mike dropping this, you know, don't look for your brother, don't dig into this, you know, this, trying to steer him away. And, you know, she's getting really kind of iffy, to me, at least at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because now she's like, okay, why doesn't she want Mike to look into this then? And then he's like, you know, come with me. And she's like, trust me, you don't want me to do that, you know. And then that's when you find out that the owner is her dad. And so she gives him the keys to her cop car and some stun guns and a taser. And then he drives back to Freddy's. He gets to an inside Freddy's just in time to see Chica walking away with Abby. And then Bonnie and Freddy just singing and playing guitar on stage. I like the scene where he like scoots up to the stage and then ducks behind it, and Freddy like zooms in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like all upset and angry, and he just stares for a moment.
Like, and
then, he goes back to the, yeah, it felt so much like a video game moment. Like that little Metal Gear Solid question mark noise, uh-huh, just went off in my head. And then he pours the bucket of mop water that he left out onto the stage and tasers it, which I don't think would be enough voltage to really do much of anything if you were standing in the water. It would definitely hurt, but anyway, that messed up these animatronics. They fell backwards and everything. And then he ran because he heard Abby screaming, because when Chica finally brought her into the room and then shut the door, it was that doll animatronic. And it had these like sensor things where if you got pushed into it, they would like slam into your ribs like they were spring-loaded.
Spring locks.
And they slam into your ribs, pretty much right where your ribs are. And that's what holds the body in the animatronic. And she didn't want to do it. And then Mike gets Chica's attention and then shoots her right in the eye with the stun gun. And then they take off, and that's where they run into Yellow Bunny. Right?
Yes.
Or...
First, the cupcakes attacks him in the hallway.
Yeah, because I was going to say, he tells her to go find a place to hide, and then she runs into Foxy and hides from Foxy.
Oh, right.
And then while he's doing that, the cupcake attacks him in the hallway, biting at his leg. And then I believe the cop ends up saving him?
No, he ends up saving her. He zaps it with that, like, animal taser.
Oh, yeah.
He zaps the cupcake with the animal control taser or whatever.
Yeah. The cattle prod.
Which leads more credence to it being a dog, because it's supposed to be used on animals.
Yeah. What happens next, Rob?
Well, then Foxy's looking for the girl, and she hides in the ball pit, and he eventually finds her, and you think he reaches in and yanks her out, but it's the cop that yanks her out and took down Foxy.
Yep.
And then the Yellow Bunny appears.
In, like, the main party area, right?
Yeah.
And man, I'll tell you, I thought this was legit another animatronic.
Mm-hmm.
Until it started doing like karate kicks and shit at Mike, and just like how quickly and like smoothly it moved, I was like, oh, what the hell is this? And yeah, then when he takes off his mask after throwing Mike a big old whooping, it's none other than his boss. I want to say Winston. I don't think that's it, though, is it? William.
William.
Afton. Yeah. And from there, I think he goes. I don't remember where Abby is. Mike gets like kicked or something, thrown across the room or something. And Abby runs over and checks on him. And then the cop stops the yellow rabbit from going in after the girl. Man, I'm trying to remember. I just remember Abby now.
Abby's saving the day.
I just remember now that Mike tells Abby to, you know, draw what this guy did to everybody and make them see. And so she, you know, drew a picture, and it was of the yellow rabbit with a bloody knife and all of the other animatronics lying around dead. And she pinned it to the center of the drawing board, and then looked like she stabbed it into the hole onto the board with a crayon.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that works, but sure. And then all of the animatronics turn on the yellow rabbit. You start seeing those spring-loaded clamps clamp down on his ribs, and it slowly, literally crushes him to death. And then they run out with the cop as the animatronics are dragging this yellow rabbit into the back. So it's like the animatronics have no more feud with Abby or Mike or any of them. And then there's an argument in the parking lot, which kind of caught me off guard. I didn't see it coming, where Mike finds out that not only is, you know, that's her dad, but she remembers Garrett, who's his missing brother. Mm-hmm. And then that she didn't know that was Mike, that Mike was his brother, at least not when they first met. So Mike gets really mad, and I believe he just walks away, and she drives off. Oh no, because she's unconscious. She got stabbed.
Yeah, the whole Daddy revelation. Yeah, the whole revelation of Afton killing, or at least kidnapping his brother, happens when she's patching him up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was earlier. Right?
It was.
Yeah. So she ends up going to the hospital then.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows Mike and Abby just eating breakfast at the house, right?
Yeah.
And then they get ready to leave, and then Mike stops in, and oh no, that's what he stopped in afterwards. But yeah, they're just eating breakfast. And then it cuts to, I don't know if it was Freddy or Chica. One of them was staring into the room. It was probably Freddy, just staring into the room where the yellow rabbit was just like writhing in pain.
Yeah, it was Golden Freddy.
Yeah. And then just slowly shuts the door. Like, he's just letting it. It's like keeping an injured animal.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's pretty much the end of the movie. That's where the credits rolled.
Yeah. Right? So what's worth noting is Golden Freddy is the most vengeful of all of the animatronics. So he would want to see the writhing bunny in pain.
So now let me ask you this, as far as theories go. Mm-hmm. So they said that William had some sort of control over them, or were influencing them in some way. He had power over these children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think that he had power over all of the kids, or that the blonde-haired kid who controls Golden Freddy has power and sway over those out of all the other kids, and William just had power and sway over that one?
I think that the way that they did it was that, so Golden Freddy is kind of like acting as their leader.
Right.
But I think the power that he had over them was kind of tricking them into thinking he was their friend with the drawings on the wall. So that's why when Abby changed the pictures, they realized, like, oh, hey, no, he's the bad guy. So I think that was the power he had over them, the fact that they didn't remember their deaths.
Oh, gotcha. And then there's like a little mid-credits scene, I guess, and it's of the taxi driver sitting in his front seat with like an eye mask over his face so he could try to get a nap in. And then he hears his door open and shut, and when he turns around, it is Rob's favorite Balloon Bob or whatever his name is.
Balloon Boy.
Balloon Boy. And it just kind of like lunges towards the camera, and then it goes black again. And then that's essentially the movie, yeah? Did I miss anything drastic?
I'm trying to think about the movie itself. I think that was generally it. There's one more post-credit thing.
That was?
Yes.
I didn't wait long enough, Rob.
Mm-hmm. So, one letter at a time, it's spelling out the words. I think it's come find me, is what it was. And then there's also, it plays the music box song of the puppet in the credits. So, the theory is that the puppet will come into play in the second movie.
Oh. So, in the games, does it show? Does it show each robot kill you?
It shows the jump scares. The jump scare is them getting you. That's as graphic as it gets.
Okay.
The only other graphic that they show is done in pixel animation, so it's not truly graphic.
Right. Like, did any of them? I don't even know how to form this question into words. Do any of them have a trademark thing, like weapon yes. that they use?
So it's not really weapons. I think they're mostly just kind of using their bodies. It's not like they're going to pull out a gun and shoot you.
That's fair, yeah.
But like Foxy, historically, like in the games that he's in, in the games that he's in, he'll run at you really fast. So you have to be really quick to beat Foxy. So that's why he was kind of like shown going down the hallway running. And then he also hums when he's nearby. Okay. So the dum-dum-da-dum-dum. Anybody else?
I don't know. Chica, always, the Chica showed, had Carl the whole time.
So Carl did most of the killing, I want to say, when Chica was involved.
Yeah.
And in the games, it's Chica. Like, the cupcake does move, but he doesn't really do anything.
Get on that, future game developers. Throw everybody off. Everybody playing the game will be like, oh, we got to avoid Chica. We got to go this way because this is where the cupcake is. Don't worry, it just moves. And then that becomes the BBEG of Five Nights at Freddy's.
It would actually be really cool if there was like some like avoid the cupcake minigame. I think the most that I've seen him is, I think in Ruin there's like a cupcake room, but that's it.
So now my next question that I have, and this is the one that I wanted to ask before about Golden animatronics.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Golden Freddy.
Yes.
And then there's the Golden Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other golden ones?
Nope. Those are the only two. They're special because they are not just animatronics. They're like walking suits. So like how William Afton was able to put on the bunny suit. The spring locks, essentially, they pull the animatronic parts apart to fit a human body in there. But obviously they're faulty. So the golden bear was worn by the business partner.
Oh. Okay.
But it's out of commission. Because it's occupied by souls.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Well, That was Five Nights at Freddy's, everybody.
Sure was.
Lex, on a scale from 1 to 10, if you had to rate this for people, what would you give it for a rating?
If you're a fan of Five Nights at Freddy's as a franchise, it's a 10 out of 10 because it is chock full of references and different things. Like, MatPat's in it. The cab driver is another YouTuber that's famous for FNAF stuff. Just like the little nods and Easter eggs are so fun to find from a lore perspective. So it's like a 10 out of 10. If you have no idea what you're getting into, it's probably like a 6 because you're kind of like, this is weird. Why is this like this? That's what I would think anyway.
All right. Rob, what would you rate this?
I mean, having a little knowledge of Five Nights at Freddy's from watching other people play, like, but I haven't seen a lot of people play it. Like, I haven't seen all the games. I don't know a lot about the lore. I would still give it probably an 8.
Okay.
Because it's a fun story. It's interesting. I mean, I know the characters from the bits of the games I have seen. And you get to stare at Josh Hutcherson for hours.
So me, as somebody who really didn't know anything about the games, except for that they were jump scary, I think you're right, Lex. I would give it a 6. Maybe a 6.5, but I'm gonna say a positive 6.5 instead of like these are like all the bad things that I disliked about it.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm rating it low on my scale is it isn't my type of movie, so that brought the scale down. It's not a movie I think I would watch again. Just as like background noise, like alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I would gladly rewatch it if somebody came up and said, "Oh, I haven't seen this movie. You want to watch Five Nights at Freddy's?" I'd be like, "Yeah, all right." I mean, it was entertaining enough for that, but not something, no replay value for me.
I think that's fair.
But I mean, like, other than that, like, I don't think there's anything about the movie that I disliked as far as like writing or anything like that. So, I mean, that's why I put a positive 6.5 on it. Because I have good things to say about the movie. It's just the replay value is not there for me.
I think that makes sense.
All right. Well, we're over our hour mark. Do you guys have any questions for the rest of us? Like, Lex, do you have any questions? Rob, do you have any questions for us, for either us or the listeners, so that way the listeners can message us and answer them if you have any.
Who's your favorite Five Nights at Freddy's animatronic? It doesn't have to just be from the movie.
Oh, can I tell you mine?
Yeah.
Before having seen the movie, I would have been like, well, Freddy, because, I mean, he's the bear, and he always looks so angry. which still probably right there at number one, but I will say after seeing the movie, probably right there with him, tied for number one, Carl.
That's fair.
I love that. That's cupcake.
Rob,
mine would probably also be Carl.
Oh, mine's a Roxy.
I know he's a dog.
Which one's Roxy?
Her name is Roxanne Wolf, and she is kind of like a later on iteration of Foxy. She's from Security Breach.
Does she have a hook hand?
No, but she has, I think, a keytar.
Okay, you know what? It's not often that I do this or try to push for this segment, because it's not often that we haven't had one yet. Can you send a picture in Discord of
I sure can
of Roxy, because SU wouldn't be SU without visual components on an audio medium.
Copy image. Where am I throwing this?
Right in the general chat of SU.
Okay, general chat, no context.
Oh. Well, she looks like an awfully nice animatronic. Like, there's no, like, fallen out eyeball or half-broken off ear or anything like that.
Hold, please.
I was going to say, did you just give me what she was, the character was supposed to look like and not what the animatronic looked like?
That's what the animatronic looks like at the start of Security Breach.
Security Breach is a cartoon?
No, Security Breach is one of the more recent games.
Oh.
There is a DLC also called Ruin. And this is what she looks like there.
Oh my. Well.
That is quite the difference.
Someone is having a bad hair day.
She also, Ruin is the Security Breach DLC. There's also Help Wanted 2 that you see her in her Ruin state, and it takes place between Security Breach and Ruin because of this detail of... Or sorry, after Security Breach, before Ruin, because of this detail of the masks that she has. In Security Breach, she just gets, like, the real shit end of the stick because she gets hit in the fucking face with the golf cart. And then her eyes get with the whole golf cart, and then her eyes get ripped out of her head.
That scene has to be put into a movie. I want to see somebody get hit in the face with a golf cart.
Well, you know what? I can actually show you that in like really good like high definition, because that game is more open world than the other games have been.
Oh.
It's actually comical how they put it in the game, because it's not just her getting hit with the golf cart. It's done multiple times at different angles in slow motion.
Oh, boy.
I'll show it to you. It's all kind right. of funny.
Rob,
but also so sad.
Do you have any questions for us or the listeners? Lex stole my only question.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's fine. Womp womp.
Not that I can think of really, no.
Okay.
Toby, you got any other questions?
Yeah, I got one for you guys.
Okay.
Of the death scenes and or ways that people died in this movie, or even got hurt, I'll accept even just minor injuries. What was your favorite way that it happened?
If that makes sense. Rob, you want to go first? If not, I have one.
I mean, it didn't really show the deaths. Like,
I know, but some of them were implied, you know, and some of them were kind of shown just like not graphically.
I mean, I guess the one where the lady got pulled into the thing and bitten in half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Into the mouth.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that because it's a PG-13 movie, they had, like, one good, like, you could mostly show it, and I think that was it, and I think they did a good job with it.
Yeah. I think... You know what? Because you two took that one, and I don't want... That is the one I was thinking of, but I don't want to... all of us to have that one. Mine's going to be an injury, not a death. When Abby runs up to Bonnie and strums their guitar, and then the explosion goes off in Abby's face.
Yeah.
So, is that something that happens in the game? Like, does the guitar spark and then like it causes the electricity to go out?
You know, you really don't see them perform much.
Lame.
I know.
In the Roblox version, they do dance on the stage, and I went to dance with them, and they instantly killed me.
That's so funny.
Well. All right. Well, with no more questions, I guess that's the end of our episode. So, Lex, where can people find you if they want to to poke you on the internet.
I am Ursula's Revenge on both Twitch and YouTube if you like horse game related content.
Yeah, horse game.
Are horse we game. Not doing a science corner? Sorry.
Oh.
Whatever.
No, I forgot. Hold on. I knew there was something missing here, but I couldn't pinpoint it because the second I asked where can people find you, in my stomach it felt wrong. Okay. So we need life advice, and we have a science corner. Let's start with a science corner with Rob. I'm sorry.
Okay, so my science corner is the one I've had for like a couple of weeks now about math. So, probability. Did you know that there's a way you can change probability just like the Scarlet Witch? Which I didn't think was true, but there was this whole Twitter debate, which I'll tell you about after I explain what's going on. And at first I was on one side, and then I realized, no, the other side is right. This is how it works. Okay, so say you are going to flip a coin. What's the probability that you're going to get heads?
50?
Yeah, I mean, mathematically speaking, it should be 50%.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you flip it a second time. What's the probability that you're going to get heads?
Again.
What, getting it a second time? Isn't it
25%?
Do you cut it in half every time?
Nope. I'm just saying flip it a second time, like you flipped it once, you got heads, you flip it a second time, what's the probability you'll get heads?
I mean, I think mathematically 50% still.
Mm-hmm. It is 50% again. If you start before you flipped it both times and say, what's the probability that I'm going to get heads? First time was 50%, second time is 50%. What's if you started at the beginning and was like, I'm going to flip this twice, what's the percentage of that I get heads? Nope. That's what I thought. I was like, well, it's 50% no matter how much you flip it.
Well, no, because now you're adding multiple coins into consideration.
It's not multiple coins, same coin twice.
Oh, yeah, I thought you said that they were adding coins.
Nope. I'm going to flip this one coin. I'm going to flip it twice. What's the probability I get heads?
Okay.
I flip it once, it's 50%.
Well,
I flip
still,
it the second time, it's 50%.
Mathematically speaking, because you're adding a secondary time to the original equation, it's going to decrease the probability of you correctly calling, you know, the coin
I'm not talking about calling it. I'm just saying
just being
you start
heads twice
at the beginning, and I didn't say heads twice. I said, what's the probability that I'm going to get heads?
50% on one coin, 50% mm-hmm. on the second toss.
Yeah.
So 25% total?
Nope.
I don't know math.
It's actually the opposite. It's a 75% chance.
Oh.
It's more likely that you're going to get heads with multiple flips because, and at first I was like, no, because it's 50% for one flip, it's 50% for another. It should just be 50% all the way down the line. Because the reason they were talking, the coin flip helped me figure it out in my brain. But the thing that they were talking about was if you press a red button and you get nothing or you win like $1 million or something like that. And somebody was like, you just press it twice or whatever. And people were like, it's still the same 50-50 chance. You'll either lose or you'll win the $1 million or whatever. But people were like, no, it's a 75% chance at that. Because people were like, oh, you press it twice, then that means that you automatically win. And people were like, no, it would still be only 50%. But then other people were like, no, it would actually be 75% chance. Because what happens is, when you add more on, you're actually increasing the amount of outcomes that there could be. So say you're like, okay, I'm going to try and flip this and get heads. If you flip it and you get tails, then you lost. If you flip it a second time, then it's a 50-50 chance that you'll get heads. However, if you flipped it the first time and you got heads, then it's a 100% chance on the second flip that you got heads because you've already gotten heads. So between the two, 50% and 100%, in between the two is 75%. Now, I know it sounds weird, but it's easier to understand if you take the outcomes. So you have two coin flips. You either have heads-heads, which you get heads in that. You get heads-tails, you still get heads in that. Tails, heads. You still get heads in that. And tails, tails, which you do not get heads. So three out of the four possible outcomes, you get heads, which gives you a 75% chance to get heads.
Oh, it's like genetics.
Mm-hmm.
Punnett squares. Get it. Don't ask me to calculate it, but I get it.
Okay. That's messed up. I'm still having a hard time thinking about it. All right. Well, where can people find you, Rob?
You can find me on Twitter. Well, doesn't Lex have her own thing now?
Oh, yeah. We'll get to hers. I haven't forgotten about it.
But you still want me to do where you can
find
it?
Yeah, because I know you're going to get up to let Matilda out. So you can do your sign off, then I'll, she can do hers again. I'll do mine, and that'll be the end of it.
Okay. Well, no, doesn't she have her own thing now? Not like the Science Corner, but
yeah,
Lex,
she has random Disney facts.
Yeah. All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Confessor_X and on Twitch at twitch.tv/ConfessorX.
Okay. Random Disney fact.
Did you know that ironically, Disneyland has a mouse problem? Despite the theme park's main character being a mouse, there's a mouse and rodent problem running rampant in Disneyland. It always has been. So in order to combat that, there's an army of cats that come out and they actually take care of the rodent problem. Sometimes you see them in the day, but they got jobs to do. So they're apparently somewhat friendly, but it's just a bunch of feral wild cats running rampant at Disney World at nighttime.
And you never see them during the day?
I think sometimes you do, but I think they mostly sleep.
Huh.
Because they don't want to deal with people.
That's fair.
But people have spotted them during the day.
All right. And are these like let out by people at Disney, or are they just feral cats that come and just live in Disney?
That one.
Wow.
They're not taken care of by Disney. They take care of Disney.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, at least I don't think we're taken care of.
That is a fun fact.
Yeah. Disney cats.
Life advice, I'll say, don't get an overnight security job based off of a horror video game.
You're not advisable.
So, Lex, one more time, where can people find you?
I'm Ursula's Revenge at Twitch and YouTube. That's pretty much it right now.
Yay. And who's the guy that I root for in Horse Game?
Garnock?
Garnock, yeah. Everybody go visit her YouTube page and ask about Garnock. Garnock's a cool guy.
I'll tell you about Garnock.
I think he's just misunderstood. And yeah, Lex will fill you right in.
Yeah. I'll go on an hour-long tangent about the lore of Star Stable.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
As always, everybody, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this week. And until next week, fuck Booster Gold.
Bye.
Bye. Outro.
Did I completely miss the arrival of this plane?
Are you supposed to go get him?
No. Ba-da-ba-ba. I don't drive.
Driving is scary.
Driving is scary. I don't like it. In my state, it's scary.